love your husbands and love your wives, when he says love one another, when he says love your enemies, love the brethren, anybody ask, is that a suggestion or a command? One of them, which is John 13 that's on it, says a new commandment. Here's the problem. We think that we're supposed to, well, I'll love them when they're lovable. I'll love them when they love me. Question I have for you. I'm not going to pick in on you, but Erica, when did God start loving you? When you started loving him, or when did he start loving you? When you was a sinner, right? Okay. So, Jim, did you love him first, or did he love you first? Yeah, what I'm trying to say is we're supposed to love one another as God loved us. God loved us even when we were idiots. Come on. Amen. And so we need to see that when we're talking about, when we're talking about contention. What I'm going to be speaking about is basically between brother and sister in Christ in the arena or the world of church. You got me? So this whole lesson is about our church. Yes, you can use it to deal with other people, but I'm more interested in our church getting along. Whether you get along with your neighbor is between you and God. But how you get along in here, it hurts the ministry. Anybody ever do a job really good and someone beside you is doing it bad and made the whole the product look bad? Yeah, and you get frustrated with a person, you're working your keister off, and the person behind you is slacking or next to you, and it makes you look bad, and you want to go, get moving. I was teasing one of my buddies years ago. It was actually our youth director. We were working on a construction site together, and he was having a bad day. I think he had a fight with his wife, just be honest with you. You ever had one of them days when you're working, husband or wife, and he came to work with an attitude? He was getting nothing done. So at the end of the day, I'm like this. He goes, we're getting close to the end. I go, man. He goes, what's the matter? I said, I wish you would lose some weight. You're getting hard to carry all day. He goes, that's not nice. Yeah, well, no, it's not. Luke 17. Let's look at this, if you would. Look what it says. Then said he unto the disciples. Now, I don't know if you know this. The church has already started. This may be the 120. It may be more. It might be more because remember, 70 of them left. And their families. So he might not have all 100, he might have more than 120 here. But he's talking to his disciples. It is impossible that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, isn't this interesting? Because later on, Peter says, how many times? Seven? And he goes, yay, 70 times seven. Remember? In another passage later on, Peter wanted to bring it back. He must have had a brother that offended him seven times. And he says, that's how long? I don't have to forgive him anymore? So, first of all, the reasons. Why do we have contention? So, put it on your list if you haven't filled it out. Reasons. How many of you have ever seen a how-to video? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever seen that. You ever went online, how to do something. Now, question I have for you. If you're standing next to someone that's telling you how to do something and you're not paying attention because you know you can go home and Google it, what's that called? Someone that does that. Someone who is standing next to someone that's explaining how to do something and they're not paying attention but because they can go home and Google it. What do they call that? Okay, that's good. Idiot? Okay. Arrogant? Proud? Defiant? Stupid? Or as we say in Missouri, to sum it all up, tarded. It don't make any sense. If someone's showing you how to do it, why do you want to go home and Google it? So what I'm asking you to do, and I know that was it seems kind of mean. I wasn't trying to be mean. But write down these things. Keep these things. Because I didn't have these when I first got saved. How about you? I didn't have this kind of lesson outlines. My pastor didn't pass out lesson outlines. If it wasn't for me writing notes, I wouldn't know what to talk about now. So it's good to write these things down so you can, when a problem comes, you can go, I know how to solve this. I have my, I won't Google it. I'll just go. I guarantee you won't find this on Google. Amen. Okay, so the reasons. Number one, they're incurable. Incurable. You can't cure them. Come on, amen. I mean, we're made different. We're different people. The Lord even says, many members of the body, and all are different. But all are made for a reason. Man, if everybody was bakers, nobody did anything but bake bread. One thing would have a fat church. Well fed. But that's it. It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? Isn't it nice to have a butcher? And someone that plants a garden? Come on, amen. Raises herbs. Isn't that nice? You could spice it up a little bit. Variety. There's variety. Someone said years ago, variety is the spice of life. It's nice to have different people, different kinds of looks. Because of the era we live in, we have very few black. Every once in a while, we'll have a black person come in, but not very often. I meet them. I invite them, but they're not coming. And so I like to see more. But we have a variety of nationalities here. Number two, it's inbred. It's inbred in us. Human beings are made with a contentious attitude. We have different problems. We get upset if people don't do it our way. Now, I do know this. The end product is more important than the beginning. Amen? So we go into our house sometimes, and when we had our kids, we believed in training our children. Now, I have no problem training a child, but I have a real problem. Well, I don't have a problem my dad training me because I didn't know, but I have a real problem with, let's just say, my wife or someone else training me in something I do good, but not the way they want it. But that's human nature, isn't it? Human nature sees someone doing something different than them, and they want to confront. Now, confrontation's fine, but contention's not. And sometimes personalities do this. It's inbred in us. Number two, we're inept. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, we need control. Amen? Like our tongues. We need control, don't we? We are unruly, and we do things that... Sometimes, I know none of you have, but there's a few times I've said something, wish I didn't say it, and can't remember sometimes what I said. Because it just comes out. We watching some news this morning, and a lady says, I guess for some reason the Democrat Party thinks they should cuss. And there have been a lot of cuss in the Democrat Party. And this one Democrat lady says, well, there's times that I use the F-bomb when it's appropriate. I don't know about you, but I don't think it's appropriate any time. And I don't know about you folks. I don't plan to cuss. I don't sit down and go, okay, I got my sermon here, and I'm going to put a cuss word right here. I'm going to talk to Robert today, and right here I'm going to cuss at him. I don't do that, but that's kind of bad to put those things in on purpose. Now, there's been times I hit myself and I have to go, don't do it. You know, you hit the wrong nail. And my land, sledgehammers. There's many times I swung a sledgehammer and hit my shin. A board split or something and hit my shin. I don't like that. So, and some choice words start to try to come out, and praise the Lord, I got the Spirit. Amen. Number D, or letter D, 1D, indignant. Indignant. Indignant means bitter. We talked about that before. Be careful with this. Bitterness makes you do things that make no sense, that are completely against God's word. The Bible says, and many are defiled thereby. It makes us think things bad about people without any kind of foundation. Okay, be careful with that because it can mess you up. Number E, impulsive. I think it was Gary, tell me if I'm wrong, Gary, the other day I was talking about what kind of impulse, and you says, my mind's made up. Sometimes we have our minds made up about why we don't like someone, why we're mad at someone, why we think someone did something. And when you said that, I'm sitting there at the pulpit, and I walked over there and grabbed my lesson, and I wrote this down. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. You remember that statement? And sometimes we hear someone did something or we see someone do something and we have a perceived or assumption of what they are doing or why or some sin must be happening. A guy gets out, a guy or a girl is not here at church and the first thing we think is, what sin are they involved with now? Let's be careful. Come on, amen. Let's don't be impulsive in our thinking and our response to people, okay? Number F, intruding. Again, I had a relative mad at me about my dealings with someone else. And that someone else had nothing to do with him. But they're mad at me. They're happy. The Lord's happy. I'm happy. Why aren't you happy? You didn't do it my way. But that's intruding. We've all done it. We all see something or have some. A third party, a third person, a third wheel always brings problems. But let's be careful that the Bible talks about getting involved with something. It's like pinching a dog, grabbing a dog by the ears. Let's don't do that. Not only that, insincere. We get deceitful, false witness. Bible talks about that. Let's be careful when we have thoughts in our minds and our hearts that are deceit. It's false. Is anybody here, let's be honest with you, is anybody here, even right now, it's hard for you to either look at someone with a kind eye, forgive someone, or spend time with someone or talk with someone, even though why has been proven that you're false? Is anybody can say, there's people in my life that I still don't like him, even though I know what I heard was not right. Isn't that sad? Let's don't do that. That's not right. And remember, treat others as you'd want them to treat you. I wouldn't want someone that heard a false word. I had someone come up and say something false to me who told someone else this false thing. And then comes to me, chews me out for it, finds out a false. I said, are you going to go back to that person and tell them you were wrong? Why? Why? They could go through the rest of their life mad at me over something I did not do. You should always, listen, first of all, we shouldn't be doing that. We'll go into that here in a little bit, but be careful of that. Amen? Okay, so let's go on the back. Anybody get those? Okay, let's go on the back page, Proverbs 17. Now, the reason why I'm teaching this, we've taught stuff like this before. In fact, the last time I taught this was 2018. It's been a long time ago on a Wednesday night. Some of you don't come to Wednesday night, so I decided I better do this. But one of the reasons why I'm doing this is because there's been a lot, not a lot, there's been a few contentions going on in our church. It's minor. We've been able to nip most of them in the bud. We've got a couple I'm still working on that I know about. And I'm not talking about splits or anger or mad. Well, some of them are angry and mad. But it's some contentions going on between brother and sister. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a nursery kid and a primary kid. It still needs to be dealt with. Most of these, in fact, all of them, except for one, deal with adults. One of them's with the teenagers, and it's sad. But look at chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Amen? Nip it in the bud. Come on, amen? Anybody have a slow leaking tire? Now, let's be honest. What do we normally do as human beings with a slow leaking tire? Huh? Okay, well, we have to do something. Keep putting air in it. Did you hear that? So it's going, you can't hear it, but it's going. Instead of fixing the thing, we put more air in it. Why? So it could go louder. Amen. Till next time. What does that hole eventually do? gets bigger, grows. It grows. Isn't that right? It ends up growing. What is that saying, ladies? A stitch in time saves nine. I'm going to tell my wife. She don't like to mend. Any of the other ladies don't like to mend? Okay. I thought darn socks was actually a process, but I think it's darn socks. It's got a hole in it. Those darn socks. Actually, it means to sew them up. I used to hand her my pants and have a little hole. I tore my pants. Could you sew this? She goes, okay, put it over there. And I get it back, and it's still, I only had about three pairs. So I go back to work, and now the hole, instead of that big, and now it's this big. So she gets a patch, and then that goes away. Then she gets a patch. I ended up, my whole leg was a patch. And we ended up stopped doing that years ago. But I'm going to tell you, folks, the next one is the results. The results. What happens when contention comes? You see what it says? It says the beginning. It's just the beginning. The beginning. So look at chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Chapter 20 says, and verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from, here's the first word there, strife. But every fool will be meddling. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's get in the New Testament. So the first word under results A is strife. You could probably guess the next one. But chapter 11, it says in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians in verse 17 says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that we come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be, here's the second word there, the D, divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Okay, how many of you, someone give me their favorite color. Blue? Blue? Anybody? What blue? Green? Anybody? Orange? Who took yours? Lynn, you took hers. Give it back. Okay. Jet. Yellow. Okay. Teal. That's Brenda's sea foam or whatever, teal, whatever. Okay. Mine's hunter green. That's my favorite. Now, so if I came in here and you could see the carpet has some hunter green in it, but also has some more color. I had someone come in and go, why'd you do that with a carpet? I actually had one of the carpet layers say, are you becoming liberal? Because this is the first carpet he rolled out. The one with the maple leaf. And I said, the pews weren't in here. It's just an empty room. I said, no. And he rolled out another one. It was green. What are you going to do? I said, those are going to go with the pews. He goes, why? Because the pews are rust. My favorite color is hunter green. But hunter green, you do not want dark green or dark colors as a carpet. It shows every hair you drop. It doesn't matter what color is. It's going to show up. And so if that happened, we would not like this. The ladies would be vacuuming between services. And so because they'd see every hair dropped. But, you know, who cares? We could be divided over what our favorite color is, what our favorite sports team is, what our favorite food is. Come on, amen? Even who we voted for, other than if you vote Democrat, you need a spiritual awakening. Now, I'm not, you could even say that with a lot of Republicans too today, amen? But I'm going to tell you, folks, we could divide over that. Come on, amen? But not over the work of the Lord, not over the church work. And that is what he's talking about. We have strife and divisions, contention, being offended. That's why he says, woe unto you that are offended. Woe unto you. Don't get offended. Pastor, but I don't like Lynn. She bothers me. I was going to say something that she does, but then she'd beat me up. She bothers me and I just don't like her. How can I not have contention? Love her. Don't invite her to your birthday party, but love her at church. Don't make her feel like you hate her. Give her a chance to be liked. Amen? Instead of when she walks in the room, you go, there's Lynn again. Can you believe what she's wearing? Look at her hair. Does she take care of her hair? What's that in her hair? What I'm saying is, because, and then what happens? Come on, let's be honest. What happens when you end up not liking someone in church? Come on, tell me what you know. What happens? Try to ignore them. Stay away from them. Avoid them. That's called a division. When he says, when ye come together, you don't come for the good, you come for the worst. So you walk in the building and you look and you go, well, she's sitting over there. I'm sitting where Pam's sitting. You follow me? Yeah, you don't have anything to do with them. Then the mind, go ahead. That's where the strife comes. You start talking about them. I don't care what they do. What they can lift a pencil up. They can talk. They can say hello. You will end up with Lynn derangement syndrome. And whatever, if Lynn says it's red, white, and blue, you would argue with that it's blue, red, white. The flag. Are you following me? And we laugh about this, but the Lord's sitting there saying to the church of Corinth, it's caused a problem. You can't even take the Lord's Supper because there's so much contention and strife in the church. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. And he's going, wow. Come on, amen. He says, no, we're all of Christ. Amen. And we need to remember, it doesn't matter who led us to Christ. We're of Christ. The common denominator is Christ. Okay, let's see. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 3 and then we'll... I just mentioned this. I'm getting ahead of myself. My mind is going faster. My mouth is going faster than my brain. You've never had that problem, I'm sure. And I, brethren, verse 1 of chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What does the word carnal mean? Someone raise your hand. What does carnal mean? Fleshly. Worldly. Worldly is basically the same. So, fleshly, worldly, okay, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So we'll read that and we'll go on. We'll go ahead and do this. The next one, splits from disciples. You go on a little bit further. It says, I am of Paul. Another say, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Amen? So we get splits in from disciples. We split. Like, avoid them. We come in and don't want to sit by them. And they sit in our pew. We go down there. Now listen, I've had people say that I caused a split in fellowship because I go sit down and some men gather around me and we talk. And Brenda sits down and some women get around her and talk. So we have the women over there and the men over there and everybody else that wants a fellowship is on another table. That's called baloney. That's called a person that wants strife. I sit in the same place every time when I go fellowship for one reason and one reason only. If you have a visitor come with you and they go, where's the pastor? I'd like to say hi. He sits right there. Now, you'll see me. I'll get up and I'll go and meet people. But I'll come back and sit and eat or a lot of times I'm just drinking coffee. But I'll sit in the same place. Who gathers around me is up to them. So if you're sitting away from us and saying, oh, I can't go over there, that's you that's saying that. That's not us. In fact, I've even gone out and other guys have gone out and said, come on over. Let's all fellowship together. The reason why we do it, men and women, I ain't going there. I'm going to be in enough trouble today. I'm not going there. Oh, I heard something the other day. I thought it was funny. The difference between men and women is They had asked the person who says whether or not they know they're a man and a woman, can you relate a story to me with only the pertinent details?
Wow.
See, I told you I was going to get in trouble. Yeah, it's all important. That's funny. But there are differences between men and women. And come on, amen. That's one of the reasons why we do it. But we're not after a split. We have not had splits. We've had a few splinters over the years of people get mad and leave, and sometimes they'll drag some. Peter quit, and seven other apostles went with him. So that happens. Praise the Lord, just the apostles went. The family stayed, and the rest of the church stayed together. Just Peter and seven other guys went fishing, went back to the fishing trade. Praise the Lord, Jesus came in and restored them. Come on, amen. Splits never do anybody any good. Like I said, listen, folks, let me be honest with you. I think this is not a good example and testimony for the rest of the community that our church doesn't start growing. I think that we need to get together, quit griping about the phrases people use, the language that might be not what you're used to, the style of stuff. Come on. We're trying to reach the world for Christ, and let's just stick to the book. Amen. And not start dividing over issues. I've had people, you're kidding me. For the whole sermon, you heard that. And that's all you remember out of the whole sermon. Whether I said something wrong or right, or a word or a phrase wrong or right, that's all you remember after an entire 45-minute sermon. And I said that at the beginning of the sermon, so that means you didn't pay attention to the rest of it. I'm sad that you got stuck on that. Come on, amen. And the problem is what I said later on, I explained. But if you get stuck on that phrase, you miss the rest. Amen. And that we got to be careful. It was splits of disciples. Look at chapter 26 of the book of Proverbs, and let's look at verse 20. Where, Proverbs chapter 26, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And everybody, come on, that has a fireplace or a stove, how come it's getting cold in here? Duh. Put some more wood in the fire, amen? In our house, it starts smoldering, so you smell the smoldering because we have a fireplace. And you look over there, and there's one log on there and some coals. Actually, we have wood up here that don't produce much coals. Back there we had, in Missouri, we had oak. We had pine was pretty good too, but oak was good, elm. But we also had what they call hedge trees. And it was, when you split it, it's green. And you wait until it's orange. You don't try to, I mean when you cut it, you don't try to split it until it's orange. Because if you try to split it when it's green, I sunk three stakes, wedges this big in one log this big and never split it. I had to use my chainsaw to saw it out. And so you just wait. I think Madrona, does Madrona produce coals up here? I never had the opportunity to get much Madrona. But if you could get coals in there, now sometimes I'll actually throw barbecue coals in my fireplace to get a bed going, because then you have coals there. But man, everybody knows the fire goes out if there's no wood. Amen? So, where there's no tale-bearer, the strife ceases. Am I right? Okay, so, if I know something, I'm contentious about it, I'm offended, if I don't tell anybody, it's over. It's when I get frustrated with as a pastor is someone coming to me after they've talked to someone else. Why do that? Come to me. Go to Joe or Mary or whoever who offended you. Go to them. Don't presume they know that they offended you. Because they won't know. Two times this last week, I've got confronted, and both times I knew nothing about it. I didn't know they're offended. Come to find out, one of them I didn't do anything, and we figured out what it was. And the other one, the person doesn't believe in biblical Christianity. That's the sad thing. We've got to be careful with it. So it splits and decay. Let's keep reading. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You get offended, that's one thing, but when you contend and keep rolling it, that is someone who is kindled to strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a pot sheared covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are... Did you see this? Seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh the word. I got a question for you. Did the Lord mention what this person was mad about? The subject matter is contention. The subject matter is not adultery. Drunkenness. Maliciousness. The subject matter is about someone that got offended. Instead of dealing with it right, they start stirring strife. Now, listen to me very carefully. I've been here before in my life. Now, I haven't been here in this place for over 35 years. But 35 years ago, I was this kind of man. I had to deal from being offended. I haven't been offended in 35 years. Praise God. But I got offended 35 years ago, and I was a man trying to gather information to stir strife between me and a man. And I got rebuked by my pastor. Praise the Lord. Oh, all of my information was right. And he was wrong. But I was stirring strife. We were both deacons in the same church. And I praise the Lord that my pastor got us together, found out about it, and worked it out to where it got taken care of. And from that time, I said, I'm not doing that anymore. Number one, I'm not going to get offended. I don't care what you say. You come to me and want to chew me out, I'll stand there and take it with a smile. I'll tell you what my side of it is, and you could go from there. But I'm going to walk away and try my hardest not to even care what you said to a certain degree. Because I know that anytime something comes out of your mouth, anytime you go outside your house and do something, someone's going to get offended. Someone's not going to like the way you walk, the way you push things, your cart, the way you talk. The other day, my wife and I'm this way. My wife, I embarrass her all the time. But I'm walking through there, and a guy comes down. I don't know if you guys do this, but here you got a lane this big, and Jason's going right down the middle of you, big brat. But he'll go right down the middle of it, and I'm coming in the middle. I'll purpose move to the middle, so we're going right towards each other. And this big old black guy come down the middle of Costco, and I just moved where I was going right down the middle. Right, he wasn't going to move to the right or to the left. I said, are you in my way or am I in your way? And I just was trying to jokingly say, get out of the middle of the road. And he goes, neither one of us. And I thought, can't even take a joke. Come on, amen. Sad part is a lot of Christians are doing that. We look for a reason to be strife. So the next one, splits and disciples. This one is spiritual decay. Now, the reason why I put spiritual decay is, and this is the problem with us. Let's be honest, folks. Come on. Am I right or wrong? When you're mad at someone, you don't think you're the one wrong. Are you hearing me? What are we supposed to do? We're going to get into it because we got to stop. What are we supposed to do when we're upset with someone? Go to them. And them alone. Why? The whole result is, the whole reason for that is so you can gain your brother. See, but...
Also, if you find out you're wrong, you don't have a whole lot of people that now know you're wrong.
That's good. That's good. If you only go to them, you only have them that knows you're wrong. You don't have to go apologize for seven people. That's good. I like that. Just remember that's called safe thinking. It's all right to be stupid to one person, but not to ten. We're going to stop there. Anybody get those? Okay? Strife, division, splits, disciples, spiritual decay. The thing that you need to understand, and listen, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's see the evil of our anger and our offense instead of the righteousness of it. It's not good to be mad at your brother and sister in Christ. No good in that's going to come out of that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I beg of you, Lord, that you'll help us now as we continue to go forward. May your name be glorified in all we do. Bless morning services in every aspect. In Christ's name, amen.